From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to continue 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news, and stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Indonesia gets 514 billion rupiah, or 27.2 million pounds sterling, green economy grants from United Kingdom. United States and the Philippines launch military drills with partners as China tensions mount. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesia has received a grant of 514 billion rupiah, or 27.2 million pounds sterling, from the United Kingdom for executing the second phase of the Low Carbon Development Initiative toward green economy adoption. The National Development Planning Ministry received the grant after signing a technical agreement with the British Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office in Jakarta on Monday. According to the National Development Planning Minister Suharto Monoarfa, in a written statement, the government needs to realize economic transformation through the adoption of a green economy by placing low-carbon and climate-change-resistant development efforts as the foundation of Indonesia's development plans. Minister Monoarfa expressed the hope that the bilateral collaboration would amplify Indonesia's commitment to promoting and adopting a green economy, in accordance with one of the agendas outlined in the 2025-2045 National Long-Term Development Plan. Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno has said at the weekly brief with Sandi Uno in Jakarta on Monday, post-pandemic tourism requires additional investment with the green economy concept. This green economy concept is about how to manage waste better, use water use wisely, use new and renewable energy, as well as reduce food waste and food loss. According to Sandiaga Uno, the most important thing is how the carbon emissions from the tourism sector and the creative economy can be reduced to 4% in 2035 and reach net zero emissions by 2050. And the most important thing is how the carbon emissions of the tourism sector and the creative economy can be reduced to 4% in 2035, and it becomes net zero by 2050. This is the efforts that the government will make by attracting more investment. Moreover, Minister Sandiaga Uno further pointed out that after pandemic, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy has run quality and sustainable programs in tourism villages. Moreover, the ministry has also carried out training on creative economy products so the products are more sustainable. Next, we have Indonesian Manpower Minister Ida Fauzia, who met with Indonesian Ambassador to Kuwait, Lena Mariana, in Kuwait on Sunday to discuss the expansion of work opportunities in the formal sector and protection for Indonesian migrant workers. Minister Fauzia asserted that it is time for Indonesia to gradually support the opening of job opportunities in the formal sector and ensure that migrant workers placed abroad have adequate competency. According to Minister Ida Fauzia at the meeting on Monday, the Indonesian government considers that the competencies that Indonesian migrant workers have are the main part of self-defense, in which by having work competencies, Indonesian migrant workers have protection for themselves. We end the national news with Deputy for Maritime Affairs and Natural Resources of the National Development Planning Ministry, Fifi Yulaswati, who echoed the government's readiness to develop the ship industry to optimize development of the blue economy in Indonesia. As quoted by Antara State News Agency on Monday, according to Fifi Yulaswati, this can be in the form of labor-intensive, capital-intensive, and of course technology-intensive. Yulaswati highlighted the development of the ship industry had been included by her side in the 2023 to 2045 Blue Economic Development Roadmap launched on July 3rd. Now we move to the international news. The United States military kicked off 2 weeks of multilateral exercises with its Philippine allies and multiple international partners on Monday amid rising tensions between Manila and Beijing over territorial disputes in the South China Sea. As reported by CNN.com, according to a U.S. Navy press release, maritime training activity Sama-sama 2023 is the seventh and largest iteration of the drills as participants from Australia, Canada, France, Japan, the United Kingdom, and Malaysia join the United States and the Philippines. Cyprus ambassador to Saudi Arabia has said goodbye to the kingdom while reflecting on relations between the two countries during his time in the country. As quoted by ArabNews.com, the ambassador highlighted the need for continuous efforts to retain the strength between the nations and reflected on strategic partnerships, startups, and cooperation in digital infrastructure that have helped build mutual expertise to create a better digital world. The ambassador added that he believed digital cooperation was one of his personal achievements during his time as ambassador, and that he will continue to support the organization. We end the news with the Ministry of Culture, Sports and Tourism of Vietnam that intends to raise its target to welcome 13 million foreign tourists from 8 million this year. As quoted by VOVworld.vn, according to a proposal by the ministry to the government, by the end of September this year, Vietnam had served 8.8 million foreign tourists, exceeding its target of 8 million, while there were 93 million domestic tourists. In the remainder of this year, the country expects to welcome around 1.2 million foreign tourists each month, especially on the occasions of Christmas and New Year's Day. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Pancasila, 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 Pancasila. Here is today's commentary on maintaining batik preservation. I'm Dalat Pane. National Batik Day is commemorated every October the 2nd. This date was designated as National Batik Day, referring to the event when UNESCO designated batik as a masterpiece of the oral and intangible heritage of humanity on October 2nd, 2009. Now, 14 years have passed since batik was designated as an intangible cultural heritage by UNESCO. It was by the Indonesian government and the people to preserve batik continued to be made. One of the activities to preserve and introduce batik by providing a vision show entitled Istana Berbatik to showcase and promote the beauty of Indonesian batik. Istana Berbatik was held in front of the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Sunday. This activity was a collaboration between the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy and the Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises, supported by the Provincial Government of Jakarta, State-Owned Enterprises, Regional-Owned Enterprises of Jakarta, and the private sectors and the communities. Istana Berbatik presented a fashion show which was represented by 506 models, including ministers and deputy ministers and their spouses, governors from all provinces, ambassadors from friendly countries, representatives of state-owned enterprises, representatives from the Yogyakarta Palace, Solo and Cirebon, professional models and the public figures. According to Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, Istana Berbatik has an impact on Indonesia's creative economy movement, because it involves many creative economy sectors so that it can open up economic fields and create jobs for the community. Of course, Istana Berbatik Fashion Show is just one way to preserve batik. Preserving batik is a very important effort to maintain Indonesia's cultural heritage. Some ways to preserve it include providing education to the public about the histories, values, and techniques of making batik so that they can better appreciate its beauty and meaning. Besides, the community also needs to support batik craftsmen by buying batik from local craftsmen and the traditional batik industry, maintaining traditional batik making techniques by passing on knowledge to the next generation, and encouraging legal protection of batik as a cultural heritage, including copyright protection for craftsmen, are important things that can be done so that batik is not claimed as the cultural work of another nation. No less important is to participate in marketing Indonesian batik widely, both domestically and internationally, to improve appreciation and demand for batik products. With these actions, it is hoped that the Indonesian people can preserve batik as an important part of Indonesia's cultural heritage. It is hoped that the commemoration of National Batik Day can be a reminder for the Indonesian people to appreciate batik as the work of their nation's children and a cultural heritage that must be preserved. Through that way, batik will be transformed into a heritage known throughout the world. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin with October 3, 1932, Iraq's independence from the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom took Iraq from the Ottoman Empire during World War I. Then the UK was given a mandate by the League of Nations to govern the country in 1920. On October 3, 1932, Iraq gained its independence from the UK and stood as a kingdom. In 1958, the monarchy was overthrown and it was declared as the Republic of Iraq. From 1968 to 2003, Iraq was ruled by the Arab Social Ba'ath Party under the regime of Saddam Hussein. US invasion in 2003 overthrew Saddam Hussein, and Iraq adopted the multi-party parliamentary system. Moving on to Operation Hurricane, one of the nuclear tests in Australia. Operation Hurricane was the first test of British nuclear weapons on October 3, 1952. A plutonium implosion device was detonated at HMS Plym Frigate in the waters of Montebello Islands, Western Australia. The yield was estimated at 25 kilotons of TNT, or around 100 terajoule. Destroyed the ship and created a saucer-shaped crater in the seabed 6 meters deep and 300 meters across. This operation was the culmination of a high explosive research project after World War II, aiming to develop an atomic bomb for the United Kingdom. The test put the UK as the third country with a nuclear power, right behind the US and Soviet Union. We end with the reunification of West Germany and East Germany on October 3, 1990. After the fall of the Berlin Wall on November the 9th under the 10th, 1989, the leader of East Germany, Erich Honecker, was forced to resign. His resignation was followed by the forming of East Germany Emergency Parliament. The Emergency Parliament held the very first election in East Germany on March the 18th, 1990. The election was won by Allianz für Deutschland, which was supported by the pro-democracy movement. The newly elected parliament ratified the reunification of Germany, which got stronger since the fall of Berlin Wall. The reunification idea was realized through the 2+4 negotiations by East Germany and West Germany, along with four occupying powers in Germany. The first 2+4 negotiation was held in Ottawa, Canada in February 1990. The second one followed in Moscow on September 12, 1990, produced the 2+4 Treaty. With this treaty, West Germany and East Germany agreed to reunite. On October 3, 1990, the German Democratic Republic dissolved into one Federal Republic of Germany.
Memang semua itu milik.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesian government sends 46 tons of humanitarian aid to Libya. The Indonesian government has sent 46 tons of humanitarian aid worth 13.9 billion rupiahs to Libyan people affected by the flood disaster caused by Mediterranean Storm Daniel in early September. The aid was sent off by Acting Deputy for Coordinating of Ecoregional Development and Disaster Management at the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture, Sorni Paskahdaili, together with the main secretary of the National Disaster Management Agency, Rustian, and other dignitaries. Sorni Paskahdaili at Soekarno-Hatta Airport, Tangerang, Banten on Monday explained that seeing the large losses caused by the flood, the Indonesian government, as one of Libya's friendly countries, had sent aid to relieve the victims. According to him, the aid sent was in the form of logistics and equipment totaling 46 tons, consisting of tents, clothing, carpentry tools, water distillation tools, ready-to-eat meals, and hygienic equipment. He explained that the provision of the aid was part of Indonesia's humanitarian solidarity with the world. The delegation that brought humanitarian aid to Libya was led directly by the National Disaster Management Agency main secretary, Rustian. The handing over of the aid is planned to be carried out at Benina International Airport, Benghazi, Libya, and will be received by Libyan government officials. Previously, the International Organization for Migration on September the 21st reported that more than 43,000 people were forced to flee due to devastating floods that previously occurred in eastern Libya. Apart from that, thousands of people were reportedly dead. That was My Indonesia Today.
Terima kasih.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
VOA listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to know more about soto, also known as choto or choto, which is an Indonesian food that is made from meat and vegetable broth. The most common meat used is beef and chicken. Soto has a variation of dishes and flavors in each region. For example, in the city of Purbalingga, Central Java, where you will find a unique type of soto called Sroto Klamut. Uniquely, because this type of soto uses young coconut as the main ingredient, so it is called Klamut, which stands for Kelapa Muda, which in English means young coconut. Listener, Sroto Klamut is made from grated young coconut meat as a substitute for vermicelli. Before it is served, young coconut meat is grated, sprinkled with salt, and then steamed for 30 minutes so that the raw taste disappears. In one portion of Sroto Klamut, there are also bean sprouts, kerupuk or crackers, and shredded kampung chicken meat. Uniquely, this Sroto is served in a coconut shell. Even though it uses young coconut shells, the gravy doesn't use coconut water, but usual soto gravy without coconut milk. If sroto is commonly eaten with rice or ketupat rice cake, sroto klamut is eaten with non-rice ingredients, namely ciwel. Ciwel is a brownish black market snack made from cassava flour soaked in rice straw soaking liquid. Ciwel has a chewy texture, so it goes well with the savory taste of Sroto Klamut. This culinary delight is easy to find in Purbalingga City. Usually, traders sell Sroto from the morning to evening at a price of around 15,000 to 20,000 rupiah, or around $1 per portion. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Rindukan aku.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development Agency, Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Museum Rumah Kelahiran Bung Hatta. Museum Rumah Kelahiran Bung Hatta, which means Bung Hatta's Birthplace Museum. Next, you'll be listening to a conversation entitled Maukah Kamu? Maukah Kamu? Which means, would you? This conversation takes place between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and Sorta Uli, a friend of Chris' vlog community. Chris asked Sorta Uli to accompany him to visit the museum where Bung Hatta was born. Let's listen to their conversation.
Ada satu tempat lagi di Bukit Tinggi yang ingin saya kunjungi.
Kamu mau kemana lagi?
Museum Rumah Kelahiran Bung Hatta. Maukah kamu ikut ke sana?
After we listen to the conversation, I will provide vocabulary related to today's material. Maukah kamu? Maukah kamu, which means would you? I'll say the word slowly, twice each, and you can repeat after me. Maukah kamu? Maukah kamu, which means would you? Ikut. Ikut, which means follow. Kesana. Kesana, which means go there. Maukah kamu ikut kesana? Maukah kamu ikut ke sana, which means would you follow to go there? Tempat, tempat, which means place. Ingin, ingin, which means want or would. Saya kunjungi, which means I visit. Kemana, kemana, which means where to. Museum, museum, which means museum. Rumah kelahiran. Rumah kelahiran, which means the birthplace. In the conversation, you heard, maukah kamu ikut ke sana? Maukah kamu ikut ke sana, which means, would you like to go there? In that sentence, there is the expression, maukah kamu, which means, would you? The phrase is used to express a request to do something. To ask someone to do something, you can use the expression maukah kamu, which means would you, followed by a phrase that states the expected activity, such as ikut ke sana, which means follow to go there. So it becomes maukah kamu ikut ke sana, which means would you like to follow to go there? Other examples. Let's listen to some examples of using maukah kamu. Maukah kamu, which means would you, to express a request in other sentences. Maukah kamu menemani saya? Maukah kamu menemani saya, which means would you accompany me? Maukah kamu datang ke rumah saya? Maukah kamu datang ke rumah saya, which means will you come to my house? Bung Hatta is the nickname for Muhammad Hatta, the first Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia. Bung is a greeting word for adult man, more or less means brother. In the city of Bukit Tinggi, there is a house where Bung Hatta was born. The house is now a museum and a historical tourist destination. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or let's speak bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of conversation once again.
Ada satu tempat lagi di Bukit Tinggi yang ingin saya kunjungi.
Kamu mau kemana lagi?
Museum Rumah Kelahiran Bung Hatta. Maukah kamu ikut ke sana?
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with a conversation entitled Maukah Kamu? Maukah Kamu? Which means, would you? Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those of you who want to know Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian better. We will meet again tomorrow with a different material. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to play a Malay song entitled Zapin Bermada by Usman Bengkalis. The song Zapin Bermada tells the story of Zapin, a typical Malay dance. The song depicts girls wearing songket woven cloth while dancing Zapin. The Marwas and Gambus accompany this dance. As one of the Malay cultural arts, Zapin dance continues to be preserved. Zapin Bermada was popularized in 2007 in the second album Zapin Bermada, produced by Sanggar Tasik Bengkalis. Alright listener, here is the song Zapin Bermada by Usman Bengkalis. Happy listening!
Melayu pakai kebaya. pas ditabung tingkah bertingkah, gambus dipetik alun mengalun, harum di dendang madah bermadah, kita berzapin langkah di alun, zapin bermadah. Ditabuh tingkah bertingkah, gambus dipetik alun mengalun, lalu di dendang madah bermadah, kita berzapin langkah di alun, kita berzapin langkah di alun, kita berzapin langkah di alun.
Voice of Indonesia.